Sarah Enbar, and myself and my husband, Mike Raspatello, have been long been residents of River Forest, and we're deeply committed to staying in the community that we love as our family grows. However, with the limited size of our current lot and the high cost of purchasing a larger home in the area, due to that, we'd like to apply for a variation to make a modest addition to the home. Since the home many in the area are is over, oh God, sorry. It was built over 100 years ago, so it's not very conducive to contemporary living. As our children are getting older, we're experiencing overcrowding, lack of privacy, lack of storage, and it's becoming increasingly harder to meet job requirements as we both work out of the house. So our goal is to alleviate this hardship of the insufficient space while maintaining the character of the neighborhood and the traditional stucco homes. And we have the full support of our neighbors who understand and should not inconvenience them in any way. So it's the addition is an essential way to meet our family's needs, and so we respectfully request the board's approval to help us continue to call River Forest home.
Okay, so let's just make, we have your application, but let's just go over what is the variation that you're requiring.
So we are seeking to increase our lot coverage by 1.5% and the floor area ratio by 3.9%. Currently, we are on a lot of 5,025 square feet, which is significantly smaller than the standard for our zoning district. So if it had met the standard of 8,712 square feet, we wouldn't be requiring a variation, but just because our lot is smaller, then we do have to apply for one.
Okay. Any questions? Have we got any questions? So you're asking, Mr. Addis, they're requesting two variations, is that correct?
Now, I've been away from the office, so I'm not 100% up to date, but the revised application here that's in the packet is only requesting a variation for the lot coverage. When I did the original zoning review, I came up with a floor area that was below the 40%. And noted that their architect who had done the original calculations needed to review it. I'm assuming he was including things that probably weren't floor area by our definitions. And so the revised application came in. They're only requesting for lot coverage. What the application reads is that they're asking for a proposed lot coverage that is equal to 32.8% of the lot. So it's 2.8% larger than the allowance, roughly 10% increase above the allowed 30% lot coverage.
Do you agree that you're only seeking one variation?
Well, in the letter to the community, it has said increase also in the floor area ratio by 3.9. That's what I understood. I think Cliff and our architect were kind of going back and forth. I don't know if they're separate.
Yeah, they are
separate. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it was for both.
Well, your application came in asking for both, so when we sent out the legal notice to make sure everything was covered.
Okay.
We noticed it for both.
Okay. So then with the new calculations, it sounds like just one.
What are we asking for?
Both.
Both?
Yes. I would think that would be the right thing to do. It's just to cover our bases.
Okay. All Right, so everybody understands that there are two separate zoning variations that we're being asked to approve. Anybody have any comments?
Can you just clarify what those two are, if you don't mind?
Okay. The zoning ordinance limits how much of a lot can be covered by buildings, which is typically measured as the footprint of all buildings under roof on a site. And that is limited to 30% of the lot area. The assumption being then that 70% of the lot is open for rainwater to soak into it, or whatever. Floor area ratio is a limitation on how much square footage. And for all our residential lots, the limit is 40% of the lot area. So the lot, so 40, you know, so you could have one that is, you could have lot coverage that exceeds, exceeds the lot coverage without having, with the floor area ratio being compliant, or vice versa. It happens, depending on the project. So, so those are the two, and we're, it sounds like we're proposing to have to approve both both variations as they were written in the public notice.
Okay, everybody good with that?
Yes.
All right, so before we vote, I just want to give you some of my thoughts. We all have trouble defining hardship, I think, or I do. I don't think hardship is because my family's grown and now I've got three children instead of none. I don't think hardship is because my kids have grown and now I've got teenagers and they need more room in the house. I don't think hardship is that I want to work from home and I don't have a quiet area. And I don't think hardship is that the house isn't big enough for me to have the parties that I want. That's my personal opinion, that standing by themselves, those don't create hardship. Because if they did, everybody in the village would be in here with the same request, you know, and the same justification. I think hardship needs to be measured by specific problems that have come about because of the property, because of the lot. And I think in this case, because of the size of the lot, I think there is a hardship. But it's not because I want to have more kids in the house, it's because the lot is smaller than the normal lot in the village, and it's smaller, and we're applying the same code provisions to these lots. So that's all I have to say. All right, anybody, any other discussions?
I think they're on a hardship because of the size of the lot. You try to meet the requirements of the village. So I agree.
All right, somebody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the variances.
All right, so Mr. Gacy made a motion to approve the variances in sections 10-8-4 and 10-8-5 of the code. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All right, you want to call the roll, Cliff?
Ms. Price?
Yes.
Mr. Blavatsch?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Ms. Davis?
Yes.
Chairman Barton?
Yes. All right, so the recommendation of the Zoning Board of Appeals to the Village Trustees will be 5-0 in favor of granting both variations. You should check with the Village Office to see when this might be before the trustees.
Thank you so much.
All right, so the next matter that we're going to consider tonight is a zoning request for the property 7611 Washington. And if you would please step up here and identify yourself and tell us what the variation is that you are requesting and why we should consider it.
Good evening. My name is Ashley Collins. I am representing my family and my husband, Justin Collins.
We reside at 7611 Washington, and we purchased the house in June of this year. When we purchased the house, there was not a garage structure in place, and so we are seeking to add a garage to the property. There was a garage that was there at some point. The previous owners demolished it and never rebuilt it. So with the plans that we have, we are hoping to receive support to build a garage that measures 22 by 22.5 feet to meet the ordinance of 10-9-8, 10-8-8, which requires that any garage be able to have two enclosed vehicles. So we are looking to have a garage of this size so we can fit two vehicles, open the doors, ideally store a bike or two. That's what we're seeking. Please.
And so in requesting this variation, you're requesting the a variation in the lot coverage ratio, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And is that the only variation you're requesting?
That is my understanding, yes.
Okay, so the sheet that we got with talks about lot coverage and floor area ratio, but we're only dealing with lot coverage.
We are only dealing with lot coverage on this one.
Okay.
Is yours dated 8/14?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, sorry, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry about that.
Sometimes we read it. Okay. So, Mr. Raddus, is the size of the garage that's being proposed a normal size garage, or is it larger than normal?
Since the zoning ordinance was changed to define what that the floor area allowance for a detached garage was 500 square feet. That is pretty much has been the standard size of a two-car garage.
So this proposed garage isn't excessive in size?
No, it is not excessive.
All right, so we got a letter distributed to us this afternoon from a neighbor who is concerned about how the construction of the garage and the pavement, the additional pavement, might impact her adjoining property as far as water runoff is concerned.
Yes.
Have you had an opportunity to review that letter?
My understanding is from the first plan review that for a building permit for this project that had come through, the village engineer's office has requested that a grading plan be prepared for this proposed project. So under the grading ordinance, we will be pursuing that set of issues.
What relief might the grading ordinance provide to the adjoining neighbor?
Well, the grading ordinance requires an engineered solution where a plan is prepared by a licensed civil engineer showing how the water will be routed, contained, dissipated, whatever they do, so that it will not cause an undue nuisance on the surrounding properties. It is an ordinance that requires that our village engineer review the proposed solution provided by the applicant's civil engineer. And after the project is over, if there are any nuisances that are, shall we say, unresolved, then the village engineer is required to investigate it, and that the applicant needs to work out a solution with their engineer and contractor to, so that it, will be satisfactorily resolved, yes.
So are you aware of this requirement as far as the engineering study?
So as the letters came back from the permit review, there was a statement about the grading plan being requested. In terms of the news from our neighbor, I just learned about that walking into the meeting today. So I have not had an opportunity to speak with them and understand what's going on there.
But you do understand that there's going to be a grading plan required, and as Mr. Raddatz has indicated, depending on the results of the grading plan, you may be required to take certain measures to ameliorate the possible flow of water onto the neighbor's property.
Yes, it is my understanding that a grading plan is going to be required with this because of our lot coverage on the property. There's already an existing driveway there. There's already grass coverage there. Hey, as a neighbor, I am concerned a little bit about this in terms of the nuisance, because there is a fence line behind there that is already toppling over. So I'm hesitant to use this grading plan and water as a nuisance to the fence.
Can I speak to that?
Yeah. Sure. Sorry, I don't know if that's on the term, but I don't want this to spiral into us replacing a fence line.
Hi, Liz Clifton out of the office to speak. I have push your board packets together, so I'm sorry if I missed something. So the neighbor who actually provided this letter of concern has actually submitted a fence permit to the village to address the fence that they acknowledged is falling down. And because of this, their surveyors indicated that their land is about a foot lower than Ms. Collins' property here today. And so they wanted to make sure that drainage was not going to just go into their property. When I spoke to the village engineers, they had indicated very early on in the permit process that a grading plan would have been required anyway, simply because of the fact that there was a garage being added, which was going to be more than 10% of the original square footage of the home. So even if there wasn't this concern by the resident, we would have required the grading plan in the course of the application. But this now helps us to also recognize that if there's any concerns, it will be addressed. And the engineer has suggested that a remediation would be having gutters and drainage towards the front of the garage, which would be north facing towards Washington, that would keep it from running towards the neighbor's home. So staff had already kind of identified a solution for this one.
All right, so do you think that we need to put any condition on approval of this property to make sure everyone's aware of the requirement for the grading plan?
If you think it's prudent to do that, then I would suggest you do that.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions of the applicant?
Is there an existing pad there already?
There is not.
There's not.
So, the driveway runs all the way up to the back of the property. There was a structure there at some point. I don't know if there's record of when the garage structure was demolished. I think that would be helpful to understand, because if it was in, let's say, the last 5 years, so to speak, and there wasn't any water and we're just replacing a garage in the same place, then I would like to understand if there was any water issue going down. But to answer your question succinctly, no, there is not a pad in the proposed place. It is all ripped up.
All right, any other questions? Somebody want to make a motion on this application?
I'll make a motion to pass on this as long as there is a grading plan that the village approves.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, so it's been moved and seconded that we recommend this variation to the Village Board of Trustees, conditioned upon a grading plan that's satisfactory to the village. discussion? I want to call the roll.
Chairman Martin?
Yes.
Ms. Davis?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Mr. Blavatch?
Yes.
Ms. Price?
Yes.
Thank you for coming. You heard what we said last time, this will go before the village board at some point. You can check with the village office to find out when it will be on the agenda.
Understood. Who would I be able to chat with to understand what the next steps are with the grading variance, and how do I work with my neighbor to make sure that it is acceptable to them, and so that there isn't discord when we invest in this grading, and then we present, and it's not a satisfaction? How do I understand what, I understand the process of working with him, but then if there's discord?
You can work with Mr. Raddatz. He can tell you what the next steps are. He can't help you with your neighbor properly. You know, he needs you to, when you've got the results of the grading plan, then you may want to explain that or discuss that with your neighbor to either allay their fears or try to come up with a resolution.
Understood.
Okay, thank you for coming.
Thank you for your time.
All right, now we've got proposed text amendments regarding electric vehicle charging stations.
Hi everyone, my name is Seth Jansen. I am the management analyst with the Public Works Department. In my various roles with the village, I serve as the staff representative to the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus Electric Vehicle Readiness Program. It's a regional program designed to help communities be prepared for the increased use of electric vehicles. This coming, as you may or may not be aware, electric vehicles have increased dramatically over the past 6 or 7 years, going from, I believe, 10,000 in the state to over 100,000 today. So a lot of the recommendations that the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus is putting forward to communities are things to address this growth, things relating to permitting, things relating to municipal fleets themselves, and then what I'm here before you today for is things relating to zoning. Currently, there are no specific zoning requirements relating to electric vehicle charging stations in the community. Currently, there are several residents who do have some located on their property. There is one publicly available charging station. It's here at Village Hall. So this is just to establish a framework in the zoning code around electric vehicle charging stations and the installation of them. There are several recommendations and sort of different tiers of levels that the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus has put forward. These are all outlined in the chart I included with my memo. And then I'm happy to talk through any of the sample text and which of those things to address which points there. But for your all awareness, I also sort of staff these onto the Sustainability Commission. I initially presented this to them. They do quarterly reviews on just general EV policy and EV usage within the village, and then brought this to the board to be the official petition as well.
So basically, as I understand this, you want us to amend the zoning code to include the definitions of the electric charging stations and all the ancillary equipment that goes with the stations, and you want us to amend the chart, the land use chart, to indicate that these structures and this use is permitted in each of the zoning districts in the village.
As accessory use, correct.
Question, how many charging stations is the village looking to add?
So sort of tangentially related to this, the village did receive a grant to install more additional charging stations on public lots. There would be 5 dual port level 2 chargers, which are the same as the one here, and then there would be 4 direct current fast chargers. Those are the ones that can charge an EV up to 80% in about 20 minutes. So there would be 2 of those located in 2 lots eventually, and then the 5 level 2 dual port chargers would be in another lot.
Okay. couple more questions. Did anyone check with ComEd to see if they have the power available for that? Because I'm on the last house on my grid, and my natural gas generator kicks off quite a bit in the summertime.
So with the, we have been working with ComEd, and just as we get closer to the actual installation, we would need to work with them to ensure load capacity for those. That's not directly addressed with the text amendment before you today. But yeah, as the installation process, that is, that will be part of that process.
So you submitted to us a proposed section 10-7-7 about electric vehicle charging station standards.
Yes.
So I've got a couple of questions about that. B1 talks about the location, as I understand it, of the charging station. May only be installed in the public right-of-way adjacent to striped on-street parking spaces. What does that mean? Does that mean it can go into the road?
This is, so there is one of these provisions, I just want to make sure I'm referencing the correct one. In the chart, CP3E is to establish regulations for EV charging stations if they're allowed within the right-of-way. This was one of the sample text examples that was put forward for communities to use, and then this was tailored specifically to the non-residential zones, meaning that if the village were to allow charging stations along the parkway, along the public right-of-way, it would only be in sort of more dense commercial areas.
But that doesn't address my question. This standard talks about the charging stations can be installed adjacent to striped on-street parking spaces. So to me, adjacent means either side. So does that mean you're going to put the station in the middle of the street?
No, that was not the intention of this commission.
All right, so I would recommend that this language in B1 be changed to indicate that you're going to build it adjacent to the Arden Street parking space as far away from the traffic lanes as possible. And then look at under C5, talks about signage or advertising appearing on the charging stations. I don't think we ought to indicate any approval of any advertising.
So this was to make sure it's consistent with, I referenced over to the sign code, which does not allow for video signage, for example. There is one form of charging station currently that essentially serves as a giant video billboard on the side of the charging station. So this would seek to anticipate or cut off that from potentially being installed and trying to circumvent existing regulations within the sign code.
So in order not to have any contradiction or any appearance of contradiction, I still think you ought to strike the words advertising. And just make your reference to the other chapter so that somebody can't come back and argue that this is inconsistent. Anybody else got any questions? Well, I think this is a good step for the village to take. Even though the demand for the electric vehicles doesn't seem as strong today as it might have been last year, I think eventually we're going to need these kind of stations. And I think I'm glad that the village is taking these steps based on what's good for the community. To me, all this stuff about you're going to get a bronze star or a silver star or a gold star, that's just hogwash. Is that going to reduce my taxes? Is it going to give me more police and fire protection? No, it's all baloney. They're good things to do. Let's just do them for the right reason. which is to benefit the village and not so we can have a gold sticker on a window someplace. That's my thoughts for the evening. All right. Anybody else got any questions, any thoughts about providing for these EVs, the charging stations in our code?
My greatest fear for EVs is fire.
So that is another thing. It was part of the broader, if you could see that I include the broader sort of spreadsheet of all of the action the village has undertaken as part of this EV readiness. Our fire department has done extensive training regarding EV fires and being prepared for how hot and how long these vehicles burn for. So all of the sort of suggested training that has been, or the, yeah, the suggested training that was outlined has already been achieved by the village with that regard.
How long is an average charge?
In terms of how long a vehicle can drive? I don't want to misspeak. It can be, I believe, 5,200 miles.
I'm sorry. I what I meant was, how long does it take for
That I can't answer. Okay. So it depends. There's three levels of charging stations. The fastest is called direct current fast charging station. Those can get you about 80% in 20 minutes to 30 minutes. It slows down the charging rate after that. It can take up to an hour to be fully charged. There is a level 2 charger, which is the one just outside here, that can get about 50 miles of charge in 2 hours. It can take up to 8 hours to be fully charged. And then the standard one that most people have in their house is a level 1 charger. This can be installed into like a standard dryer outlet. That is 12 hours of charging gets you 50 miles. So that's the sort of slowest charging one.
Thank you.
Question for you. Is the village going to own the charging equipment?
Yes. The ones that we intend to install at the village of lots.
So they're not leasing them?
Yeah.
So the village will have to insure those, correct?
Yes.
What would the cost of the insurance be? Is it going to be a dramatic increase or?
That I do not know.
Are these stations to be installed on village property, are they going to be free for use by anybody, or is there going to be a meter or something so that whoever's charging pays for their use?
Yeah, so we will need to assess what sort of fees as we get closer to that. Generally, particularly with direct current fast charge, there is, because of the amount of electricity going in there, you typically try to at least recoup the cost of the electricity for those charging stations. One thing we would also like to encourage with those particular stations, as they would be in popular demand, is an overstay fee, so somebody does not remain parked there beyond their charge. So we do have a fee that some functions as an overstay fee at this one. So you get 2 hours free, and that's 50 miles of charge. Beyond that is a prorated rate of $10 an hour up to $30. So you can charge for up to beyond $5. But once you hit that $30 mark, that essentially functions the same cost as that ticket.
How do you collect that?
That is collected automatically through the ChargePoint app. Anyone who uses this charging station has to have the application and account with their credit card information already in it. And then that is a dedicated account that the village receives the fees from at the end of every month.
So you might also try to permit, they can put the rates so that you can even recoup a little of the cost of it. Purchase and installation of the machine, not just the electricity that's being used. Okay, any other comments? Anybody want to make a motion on these proposed amendments to the zoning code?
I move to approve the text amendments regarding electric vehicle charging stations.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Mr. Raddatz, is this motion specific enough so you know what we are approving?
Should I read this 1, 2, 3, 4 here or read them off?
Do you have a memo?
You had brought up some proposed revision. Is this going to be subject to addressing your comments?
Yeah. That's what the name is about.
Just to clarify, just I was taking notes to your comments. So B1, adjacent to the striped parking, as far away from the lanes of traffic as possible. And then C5, just any signage appearing rather than signage or advertisement.
On the first one, I just say on the sidewalk, because as far away as possible means infinity far away.
On the part rear sidewalk.
Yeah.
Outside of the lanes of traffic.
That's better, outside of the lanes of traffic. Okay, everybody know what we're voting at? Want to call the roll, Mr. Raddatz?
Mr. Pulavach?
Yes.
Ms. Davis?
Yes.
Chairman Barton?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Ms. Price?
Yes.
Right, so that'll be the recommendation to the trustees to adopt these amendments to the zoning code. Anything else before us this evening? Do we have a motion to dismiss?
I'll make a motion to dismiss.
A second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you all for coming.